This is Radio 4, and now, the play.
John Castle plays Detective Superintendent Thorne, and Andrew Branch, Detective Sergeant Abbott. John Sampson, Hugh Royston, Headmaster of Coriston College, and Victoria Carling, his wife Sylvia, in John Penn's murder mystery, Mortal Term, which has been dramatized by Melville Jones. The play is set in the Cotswolds. Mortal Term.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Please, everyone, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, I hope, an amiable social occasion, so I'll try not to spoil it with a lengthy head magisterial address. Firstly, thank you for coming. I know how frantic it can be on the first day back. I hope you all enjoyed the holidays, and that we at least get some decent weather this summer, don't we? In particular, let me welcome our new linguist, Stephen Layton, who will be with us for this term at least. Is Mr. Layton here?
I think he's over in the language laboratory, Headmaster.
Thank you, John. Well, there's enthusiasm. I expect you all know, given the speed at which news travels in our small community, that I was married in the holidays. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sylvia is keen to get to know you all as quickly as possible, but she wants me to ask you to be as patient as you can while she gets used to our ways. Isn't that right, Sylvia?
Yes. Please.
I hope you will all introduce yourselves in the course of the evening, and before the term is out, Sylvia and I intend to have invited everyone on the staff to dinner with us here. A very brief word of shop. On a more mundane note, I'm informed of three pupils who have not yet arrived. Helen Quarry reports that Jane Hillmore is not back. And perhaps less surprisingly, Mark Joyner tells me that Pearson and Geary have not put on appearance.
Take your event altogether approved, then, Francis.
Well, nothing to do with me. Who knows his own mind, I suppose.
Perhaps. But I should say you were closer to him than anyone, had his confidence, protected him from the rest of us and all that.
I'm only his secretary, John. He doesn't tell me everything.
Yes, perhaps not. Did he tell you where he met her?
Not in so many words, but it seems it was a whirlwind courtship.
So where did you meet each other?
Or am I being too late?
No, of course not. We met at Christmas, a hotel. My aunt and I, we always went away for Christmas.
Your aunt?
Yes. I lived with her. My parents died when I was small.
Oh, I see.
Hugh was staying at the same hotel.
Oh, I wondered where you went in the holidays. You'll find there are no secrets in our caring community.
Really?
Oh, we're not that bad. In fact, we're quite nice, really, Mrs. Royston.
Sure. And please, I'd much rather you called me Sylvia. Can't get used to Mrs. Royston.
Then Sylvia it shall be. And look, if it ever gets a bit much, just pop in for a natter. I promise I'll talk about anything except school. It'll do me good. Coping with the problems of adolescent girls 24 hours a day can be a bit traumatic.
You're complaining already, are you, Helen?
I tell you, John, 4 weeks' holiday is not enough.
Now, you mustn't oppose Mrs. Royston on her first day with us. May I introduce myself, John Quarry, your husband's deputy.
Hello, I've heard such a lot about you. From you.
Here you are.
I know he depends on you a great deal.
Ah, yes, I see.
And I've asked Mrs. Royston, Sylvia, to call in and see us whenever she feels
of
like.
Of course, yes, always.
You must come and meet Ruth, my wife, in Tarbert.
Tarbert?
There's my schoolhouse, the cross I bear.
A cross, indeed. Word has just come through. Pearson and Geary.
Oh, Lord, where are they?
At the station, it seems, with no money for a taxi. They expect someone to pick them up.
The cheek!
Quite. Little sod should have had their backsides tanned years ago.
Oh, John, really?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Royston, but boys like that.
But I thought that he told me there wasn't any corporal punishment at Coriston.
You don't worry, there isn't. Your husband abolished it when he arrived. You'd approve, no doubt.
Well, I hadn't really thought.
With reprobates like Pearson and Geary, it's really the only thing.
Well, I can't go. This is my fourth sharing.
And I wouldn't cross the road to fetch them.
Well, somebody will have to do it. We can't just leave them there, much as we'd like.
Oh, I suppose I'd better see if Ruth can go, just when she'd be trying to get the kids to bed.
Can't I? I've only had one drink.
You? Well, really, that's very kind of you, but why should you? Is that a problem?
No, I'd like to, really. Be useful in some way.
But this is your party.
I'm sure no one would mind. Honestly, I think I'd prefer it. Get some air. I'm not really much good at parties, small talk, that sort of thing. I'll tell Hugh. Get my car keys.
quite sure you don't want me to come with you?
Quite sure. I know the way to the station. I'll only be gone a few minutes. You enjoy the party.
Oh, this is really very kind of you.
Not at all. To tell the truth, I'm glad to be out in the fresh air. I enjoyed the drive.
Ah, Paula! Getting a breather.
No, I was sent to fetch Steve Layton. He was lost in the language lab.
Just getting the hang of the system before my first class tomorrow.
I'm sorry, I haven't introduced everybody.
Hello, I'm Paula Danby. I teach English.
Hello.
Steve Layton, the new linguist. Knew everything, my first job.
Really?
But what about you? Have you been here long? No, of course not. You're far too young for that. So what do you teach?
This is Mrs. Royston, the headmaster's wife.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have... But I didn't think. I mean, you look so...
Young. Is that it, Steve?
No,
We better get on. Mrs. Royston's going to the station to pick up some late arrivals.
So I heard. The dreaded Pearson Geary. Mm. That's very public-spirited of you.
No, I'm pleased to...
Well, watch that minibus. It's like a tank to drive. I'll get the keys on and show you where the brute is.
This is really very good of you, Mrs. Royston. I'm quite a surprise. Isn't it, Tony?
Mm, absolutely. We never saw our headmaster as a marrying kind.
Really? Are you all right in the back there, Jane? You're very quiet.
I'm all right, thank you.
Jane's the quiet, studious type. Aren't you, Jane, dear?
It's left here, isn't it? I'm not too sure yet.
Yes, left at the garage.
The gearbox is very heavy.
You're doing fine, Mrs. Royston. Not far now. You'll be able to go back to your party.
Yes. Well, they've left me some drinks.
Oh, I don't mind. Look out.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Layton.
I hope you had a chance to meet all your family.
Yes. Thanks very much, Headmaster. I'm sorry I was late. I got a bit engrossed.
Not at all. I'm very impressed by your enthusiasm. And please, don't hesitate to ask for help or advice if you need it.
Thank you.
I can just remember what it was like to be starting in the profession. I'm sure you'll find us a friendly lot. Isn't that right, Paula?
Oh, yes. Most of the time.
Have you moved back into college yet, or are you still...
No, I moved back this afternoon. Knowing how generous you are with the sherry, I thought I'd better not risk the drive home.
Paula has bought herself a lovely thatched cottage, away from it all.
Ah. If you stay with us, Steve, I suggest you look for something outside the wire. It helps to keep you sane.
Now, come on. Don't frighten him off, after all.
Headmaster, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a call for you in the office.
Oh, well, is it urgent? I'd rather...
Yes, I'm afraid it is. It's very urgent.
There's a WPC with her, sir. Try to calm her down. It's the shock, you see.
But she's definitely not hurt.
No, sir, not physically.
And the little boy?
Not very good at all, I'm afraid. Rushed him straight to the infirmary.
But he will be all right.
I wouldn't like to say, sir. It's too early.
And his family? You've contacted them, I imagine.
It happened more or less outside their front door. Terrible for them. He was chasing a football, you know, all these little kids do. Ran right out. Your wife had no chance.
No, of course.
There were witnesses, so there shouldn't be a problem.
Problem?
For your wife, an inquest, if the lad doesn't...
I'm sure he'll pull through, Sergeant.
Yes. Your wife was naturally very distressed, Mr. Royston. I'm sorry we had to...
Had to what?
Any accident of this nature, we have to take a breath test. You do understand?
No. Sylvia had drunk very little.
It only takes very little, sir. But the test was negative.
Of course it was. I told you.
It upset your wife, made the shock worse. This was a very serious accident.
Precisely. An accident. My wife was in no way to blame.
Yes, sir, we know that. But you may have to convince her.
Sylvia, please.
I'm sorry, but I can't forget. Every time I close my eyes, I see him running out right in front.
Well, this is hopeless. It's been over a week. You've hardly slept at all. You really ought to take these tablets.
I keep thinking, if only I hadn't taken a minibus. Been so confident.
Well, look, we've been through all this. It wouldn't have made any difference. He just ran out.
I was trying to be so helpful going to meet those boys. Showing what an asset I could be to you. How I could cope.
Stop it, please. What's the point of all this? It can't change anything. Everyone understands. They've all told you.
They feel sorry for me, Hugh. But if that little boy dies...
He's not going to die.
Will they still feel sorry for me, or will they blame me? And why shouldn't they? I blame myself.
Well, after that pounding, I suppose it might pass as Philip.
Oh, I shouldn't get into too much trouble. They'll probably cry off anyway. I gather she still isn't able to face things. Some headmaster's wife she proved.
John, please behave tonight. Don't provoke you.
I'm sure Mince would have been just as good.
My God.
Well, what now?
Well, you don't suppose Sylvia's a vegetarian, do you?
I'm sure we'd have heard. Major piece of gossip like that?
Yes, of course. Francis would have told me.
Oh, indeed. Not a sparrow falls, but the school secretary.
Particularly where Sylvia's concerned. It's pathetic how jealous she is of her.
Jealous? Is that the word? Surely Francis didn't yearn for our leader's body.
Not all jealousy is sexual, John Quarry. Surprising as that may be to you, she resents the ending of her special relationship, the confidentiality.
Possibly. Oh, I said only in emergencies. I'll get it.
Look, I'm sorry, John.
I wouldn't have disturbed.
Come on through. Helen's pounding the lifeblood out of the state.
I didn't think it could wait until the morning. Hello, Helen.
Sorry about this. Duty evening, is it?
Yes. Steve Layton and I are on. I've left him at the scene of the crime.
Oh, dear. Who's done what to whom and why? Pearson and Gary again?
Not this time, though they are amongst the crowd. No, it's a girl, and a most unlikely one.
Really? One of ours?
Hmm. Jane Hillmore.
Jane Hillmore?
But she wouldn't say boo to a goose.
Well, so I would have thought.
Well, what's she supposed to have done?
Steve and I were doing the rounds. There was a sudden commotion from one of your day rooms. We found a crowd clustered around Jane. She'd fallen on the stairs, cut herself.
Oh, an accident. Yeah. I thought you said...
She was carrying a bottle of gin. Jane Hillmore? Oh, but that's extraordinary. She's not like that. She's got very strict old-fashioned...
No, are you sure about this? Gin?
She admits it.
Well, where the hell did she get it?
From your study. At least that's what she
said. Well, she went into my study and stole a bottle of gin.
So it seems.
Oh, where's she now?
I got a couple of prefects to take her to Matron. Thought it best to have her out of the way.
Oh, quite right. Although I suppose the whole school will know by now.
I'm afraid so. There was a lot of stupid giggling and snide comments when we arrived on the scene. About Sylvia Royston.
Well, what about her?
That she has a drink problem. I suspect Pearson and Geary are behind it, giving their version of the accident, but I can't prove it.
But that's dreadful. He'll be livid if he gets to hear of it.
Well, I certainly don't intend to tell him. Not about that. But he'll have to hear about this Jane Hillmore business. We can't keep that to ourselves.
And you wish to persist with this absurd explanation, Jane? Jane?
Yes, sir.
You stole, and that is the only word I can use, you stole a bottle of gin from your housemaster's study simply because you were curious to find out what it tasted like? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe you. I'll tell you what I think. You were put up to it, weren't you? By others. Were you bullied into it? Is that it? Well, is it? I understand that Pearson and Geary were about when this happened, and you did come back with them at the beginning of term. I know that you don't associate with them.
No, it was just me.
What is the point of protecting these people? They aren't worth it. Why should you take all the blame? Jane, if you refuse to cooperate, you make it difficult for us to help you. I think you need help. Mr. and Mrs. Quarry speak very highly of you. You have always worked hard, done your best, never been in any trouble. In fact, until now, you have been a credit to yourself, the college, and, of course, your parents. How do you think they are going to react to this news?
Well, you won't tell them so, will you?
If I could satisfy myself that you were put up to this, forced into it, then perhaps we could deal with ourselves. But if you refuse... I'd rather not have to tell them, believe me. Come on, Jane, calm down. I expect we can sort something out. Oh, dear. Dear. Use my handkerchief.
No, don't touch me.
What?
Don't touch me. Don't come near me.
Would you come in, please, Francis? At once.
It's not.
Please, stay here with Jane until she's calmed down. When she's pulled herself together, ask Mrs. Quarry to take her back to the house, will you? I'll discuss it with her later. I shall be with the chairman of the government until lunch.
Headmaster, there was a call for you. It's important. Sergeant Cork would like you to ring him.
Did he say what it was about?
He wouldn't tell me. He insisted on speaking to you.
That's it then, Mr. and Mrs. Rawson. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, at least it's over. The uncertainty.
Is it here, really?
The coroner's just said you were totally exonerated. Death by misadventure.
Oh, why did they have to bring their other boy with them? I kept looking at him, thinking that... If Billy had lived, he would have grown up to look like his brother.
Nothing's going to bring the lad back. But I promise, I'll go and see the family, if I can help in some way.
Yes, but the way she looked at me when I was giving evidence...
Sylvia, it won't be easy to forget this thing. It'll take time, but it really is over. And please, do make an effort not to brood, please, darling, for both our sakes.
I will try to. I promise. I know I haven't been much help in the last few weeks. And I was so keen to be a model headmaster's wife.
You are, believe me. And things will be quite different now. There'll be plenty going on. The last half of the summer term is frantic. I shall need all the help you can give me.
Good shot, John! If he sticks up, we could win. It'll be the first time we've beaten the sixth form for years.
As long as he doesn't get carried away. He's nearly run the head out a couple of times already.
What fun that would be.
Yes, that would really be pistols at dawn stuff.
Have they always been, well, sort of what, Steve?
Well, wary of each other.
Ah,
you've noticed. You must be settling in.
John's been here for years, part of the furniture. I suppose you couldn't expect him to welcome all the changes Hugh has made.
Particularly as he was pretty confident of getting Hugh's job. More or less promised it, he said. So I didn't.
Ah, new chairman of the governors, Lord Penmerith.
Oh, he's here today. I was introduced to him.
Oh, yes. Takes a close interest in his chattels, does his lordship.
And he wanted someone from outside. A new broom, is that it?
So it appears he's an enlightened Tory, a progressive peer.
Not the sort to appreciate John Quarry's fundamentalist views on education.
I see. Well, it's always wheels within wheels, isn't it?
You're learning, Steve. You're learning.
Oh, Lord, he's out. Yeah, I'd better get my pads on.
You're not in for a long time yet.
There could be a sudden collapse.
Optimist.
I was hoping someone would bowl at me in the net. Get my eye in.
Indeed, it could all depend on you, Steve.
Oh, don't.
I'll bowl a few at you when you're padded up.
Thanks.
Oh, better bring a new box of bowls.
Where are they kept?
Covered, in the groundsman's shed. No, over there, where the mowers are.
Thanks, will do.
What's so funny?
Steve, he's still an innocent, isn't he? I suppose we must have been like that once.
Youthful enthusiasm.
How's he getting on? In the house?
Oh, he's keen enough. A bit naive. Tends to believe the best of everybody, but that's hardly a fault.
There's another innocent look.
Oh, well, at least he's back in circulation. Still looks very strained.
I don't suppose the poor thing had any idea what she was letting herself in for when Hugh swept her off her feet.
Oh, well, she's been unlucky, hasn't she? In that terrible accident, not her fault, of course, but I don't suppose Penmerith welcomed the publicity, the inquest, and so on. And there's this Jane Hillmore business.
But that was all hushed up, wasn't it?
Oh, Hugh had to tell the governors before someone else did. You know what it's like here.
I see. No wonder she looks nervous. Poor little Sylvia.
Yes. We certainly can't afford any more trouble this term.
Drink, drugs, sex. Just the modern equivalent of wine, women, and song. Whereas our parents indulged in wine, women, and song. Not mine.
Or has this been adulterated with best quality, you told me? And at that price?
I don't know why we bother.
It does nothing for me.
We bother, old friend, because if we didn't, we'd be like all the rest of them.
Sheep. Pitiful, bleating sheep.
Oh, cheer up. We've all but finished with this dump. A few more weeks.
There's a small matter of A-level.
No problems. Wicked we may be. Stupid we're not.
And then? 3 years of indolence at the taxpayers' expense. Women. Boom.
All the good things that last.
What the hell's going on here?
I asked. You idiots. You think I don't recognise the smell? I haven't just come out of the Ark, you know.
Please believe us, sir. We don't make a habit of it. It was just an experiment.
Where did you get it?
Not from anybody in the school. I give you my word on that.
Your word, Pearson. What value can I set on that?
Fair enough. I've been in trouble before. Both of us. Most of the time we've been here. But we're not liars. You can ask anybody.
Look, sir. We admit it was stupid. But we're not harming anybody else.
How much of this have you got? There. Just what's in that tin. Really, that's all.
Please, sir. Couldn't you just forget this happened?
Forget?
We're leaving after A-levels. In just a few weeks, we'll be shot of Coriston for good. But if you report us now, it could muck everything up. University places, references for jobs, our whole future, really.
Well, shouldn't you have thought of that before?
Yes, yes, we were stupid. But it's only pot, sir. You've just left university. A lot of people must have smoked it there.
That's not the point.
I mean, you should understand how it is, sir. You're not like the rest of them. You're young.
I'm a member of staff at this school. I have responsibilities.
But no one need know. Look, it won't happen again, really. And it's only pot. Nothing really heavy.
I doubt if the headmaster would see it quite like that.
But you don't have to tell him, sir. Do you?
You give me your word that you've got no more.
Of course. You can search our studies.
You'll be gone before long. I don't want to feel that this incident would ruin the future for you. But I want your solemn promise that you'll have nothing more to do with drugs.
You have our word on that, Mr. Layton.
Don't make me regret my decision.
Oh, we won't, sir. You'll see.
Right. Now, get on out and watch the cricket.
Yes, sir.
Where we can all see you.
Oh, I hope I know what I'm doing.
Now, cricket balls.
Hello. Mark has got trapped by a parent. No net, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Wasn't that
Pearson and Geary I saw coming out?
Yes.
He looked even more furtive than usual. What have they been up to, I wonder? Wait a minute. Were they smoking?
Yes, they were.
So what are you going
to... Look, Paula, I need to tell someone. I may have just made a terrible mistake, but... Well, I think it would be over the top to make a huge scene out of this. You see,
look, Steve, this is not just a prank.
Please let me explain my reasons. And Paula, you must keep this just between us.
Ah, is it all over? We won.
Still going on, Francis, but I think we can hold out for a draw. Have you seen my wife?
She's checking the place settings for dinner, I believe.
Oh, I see you. Is everything in order?
I really can't say, Headmaster.
Oh, but I thought...
Mrs. Royston seemed to want to supervise everything personally.
Well, I'm sure she wanted to be a success, her first governor's dinner, but you have always...
Indeed. You always left the details to me. I did offer.
Yes. Anything important coming this afternoon?
I don't think so. Oh, yes. I typed up Paula's reference for you to sign.
Oh, well, thank you.
Can't imagine why she wants to go to Australia.
Perhaps you should ask her.
Well, she's a good friend, but she's never really confided in me.
I suppose she's been here for some time and she's looking for promotion. Well, that looks fine.
But Australia?
She has a brother in Sydney, I believe.
Even so.
Not everyone is as devoted to Coniston as you.
Francis, did you...
Hello, darling. How are you getting on?
Fine. It's just the flowers don't seem to have arrived.
Really?
Well, shouldn't they be here by now? I have to do the table arrangement.
What time did you order them for?
But I didn't. I assumed...
That soon?
I thought you would choose the flowers. You said you always... Oh, dear. Is it too late? Can I...
There's no need. I took the precaution of ringing the florist this morning. He said he'd deliver this afternoon. I'll go and check at the lodge. Excuse me.
Well done, Francis.
Bitch.
Sylvia. Oh, that's hard.
She knew all the time. She was just enjoying it. Humiliating me.
Oh, that's not fair. She was just being a person.
Oh, and I suppose I wasn't.
I didn't mean that. You're doing marvellously. I know it can't be easy for you. We're trying to get the hang of this place.
I don't know if I ever will, Hugh. If I can.
Of course you will.
Those who don't resent me either pity me or patronise me.
I'm sure that's not the case. It's just that it takes...
Time? Is that it? But how much? How much time do they need?
Remember, the purpose of this trial exam, ladies and gentlemen, is to reproduce the exact conditions you'll meet in the real thing in a couple of weeks' time. So we will follow all the procedures. Therefore, I will inform you when you have 30 minutes left. Right, you may now turn the papers over and begin.
Oh, goodbye, baby.
Quiet. Who is making that ridiculous noise? Jane, what's the matter with you?
Oh.
Oh, well, Jane, what's wrong?
It's far from most of me, sir. What do you think, Terry?
You're very under the weather, I say.
All right, shut up, you two. And the rest of you. Quiet, everyone!
I'm sorry, Hugh, but I feel desperately upset for the poor child. She's been worried to death for the last few weeks. She's overwhelmed with guilt.
I wish I could feel as charitable, Helen.
She's an innocent, Hugh. If she was the brazen sort, I'd feel differently. I know it's an old-fashioned thing to say, but someone has taken advantage of her.
I suppose there's no doubt. The doctor was certain.
Either Jane has an abortion, or she's going to have a baby.
Haven't told the parents yet.
Francis is trying to contact them now to get them up here. It's not the sort of news you can break over the telephone. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did we allow a girl to get hold of alcohol twice within a few weeks? It doesn't say much for our pastoral care, does it?
I hope you're not implying that Helen and I have been negligent.
Well, she is in your house, John. That's hardly fair.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it happens from time to time. There's no proof that one of our boys is the father. It could have happened in the holidays.
She refuses to say anything about it. I've tried.
We could still get an enormous amount of adverse publicity out of this. Failure to exercise proper supervision.
I'm sorry, but I don't see what more we could have...
Where did she get hold of the gin this time?
Yesterday afternoon, in an English lesson, Paula sent her to get a book from her room, and she took it then. Paula's very upset about it, but she's sure her drink was locked away.
Oh, it's not her fault. I suppose I'm to blame as much as anybody.
But why?
The last time, when she was in here...
What?
She was in some distress, crying. I tried to comfort her. She shied away, hysterically.
Oh, you never said.
didn't I?
No, you didn't. Oh, Hugh.
Come in.
Headmaster, I've managed to contact the parents. They'll be here at 2 o'clock.
Thank you. John, I'd like you and Helen here as well.
Yes, very well.
See, all her stuff is packed, ready.
Thank you.
Headmaster, I wonder if I might have a word.
Yes, of course.
This is very difficult for me, betraying a confidence. But in the circumstances...
Yes?
You know the feelings I have for the school, Headmaster.
I know you always act in our interest, and I respect your judgment absolutely. So, what is it you would like to tell me?
This has not been a good term, has it? There have been, well, a number of difficulties.
Indeed.
Of course, I'm only the school secretary, and perhaps matters of school discipline are no concern of mine, but in the present circumstances, I didn't feel, in all honesty, that I could remain silent, knowing what I do.
Which is?
Well... Paula is one of the few members of staff I could call more than just an acquaintance. Not a close friend, perhaps, but we get on well together.
Yes, so I understand.
Well, she feels very guilty that it was her drink that Jane Hillmore stole.
Oh, she needn't. I know about that. It could have happened to anyone. If that's what's worrying her, you can reassure
her. It's not just that. She realizes that the school can hardly stand another scandal. Drink, pregnancy, they're all bad enough. But drugs.
Drugs?
Yes. I gather at the time she was prepared to give an inexperienced colleague the benefit of the doubt. But in the light of recent events, well, her conscience has troubled her. She needed to confide in someone. I suppose I am now betraying that confidence. But there is such a thing as duty, isn't there?
Inexperience. You showed a total lack of ordinary common sense. Didn't you realize you had a duty to file a full report?
I confiscated what they had. They swore that was all. I thought that as they were soon leaving,
it might... In a school of this kind, as you should have realized, we cannot afford a breath of scandal. The press always devours stories of public school depravity, or hadn't you noticed?
Well, I just thought...
No, the trouble is you didn't think.
I can only say I'm sorry, Headmaster.
That's all very well, but I have to say the incident raises serious doubts as to your suitability for a school of this kind. As you know, your position is a probationary one.
And you won't be making it permanent. Am I right?
I'm sorry, but I think it would be wise for you to look elsewhere.
I have to say, I think you're overreacting, Headmaster. Perhaps it was an error of judgment to trust the boys, but I...
Yes? I see. I was afraid of that. Yes, at once, please. Both of them. That was Mr. Joyner. I asked him to search the boys' rooms. It seems, as I suspected, that your trust was seriously misplaced.
I'm telling the truth. It's not ours.
You told Mr. Layton you had no more. You told your housemaster you
it
had
was
no
true, sir. We didn't.
And how do you explain this?
Someone must have planted it.
Please, don't insult my intelligence. I simply don't believe you, either of you.
That's your privilege, sir.
And don't be insolent, Pearson. It won't help you.
Sir, all we've done is smoke a few joints on school property.
All you've done? That alone is illegal.
Yes, but it's not exactly a major crime these days. It's not like trading in heroin or robbing a bank.
That will do.
Or having a little too much to drink and running someone over with a minibus.
I warn you,
we were there, remember? We know.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean...
There is no point in further discussion. I propose to expel you both from Coniston forthwith. I shall telephone your parents immediately.
But now? At this stage? I mean, what about our A-levels? University?
That is no longer my concern.
But it's not fair. Not for what we did.
As I said, there is no point in further discussion. You will wait in your studies until your parents...
If you do this, if you expel us, we won't do
it. You will have no choice. Now, will you both?
Well, get back at you. You and this rotten bloody school.
Geary!
And don't think that we can't. You'll see.
I'm very glad you could join
me. Well, honestly, I have to pay for ages.
Can you spare a moment?
Well, we're just about to go on court.
It's important, darling.
Do you mind, Sylvia?
Well, actually, it's both of you that we'd like to talk to, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, if we may.
I hope you two haven't come with more bad news. An hour with Jane Ferris was pretty depressing, I can tell you.
Let's sit down, shall we?
Ah, that tone means you have. So?
Pearson and Geary.
Yes, I heard. Well, what's happening to them? Gated? Suspended until A-levels?
No. Hugh is expelling them.
But surely... Oh, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry, Sylvia, that's not very fair. It sounds as if I'm getting at Hugh.
I'm sure you're not, but perhaps I should leave you to...
No, if you don't mind. We'd like to ask for your help.
Mine?
Yes. To intercede with your husband.
On behalf of the boys?
Mm.
Well, I would if I thought it would help, but why should he listen to me? I'm not really in a position.
I've spoken to Pearson and Geary. They're confined to the house until their parents arrive. I think your husband may have been provoked by a very thoughtless and stupid remark one of them made. It was said in the heat of the moment, not meant.
What remark?
When they lose their cool, boys say things, stupid things. One should try not to pay too much attention.
But what remark? Please tell me what he said, please.
They were suggesting you were drunk. They made vile accusations. Surely you realize that.
Oh, Hugh, they were only repeating what everyone else has been saying. Did you think I was unaware of it? You may think I'm a little naive.
Sylvia, but... I've made my decision. I don't need to apologize or explain to anyone.
Not even to me.
I'm sorry, but this is a matter for my professional judgment. It's a question of what's best for the school.
Come, Coriston. All you can ever think of is the school. What you ought to be thinking about is the future of those boys and that poor girl. Have you done what's best for them? Or have you just got rid of them because they might damage the good name of Coriston College?
That's enough, Sylvia. There's no point in this. It's been a difficult term. It's nearly over. We'll take a long holiday, and when we come back...
When we come back, Coriston will still be here.
Sylvia, when you married me, you knew this was my world.
Yes, your world. But I'm not sure it's mine.
Francis, ask John to take the last assembly for me, would you?
Oh, isn't that rather...
Lord Penmerith rang last night. He wants to see me. I dare say I should be with him most of the morning.
Hardly the most convenient time.
I didn't think it prudent to argue with the way things are.
I see.
Oh, and tell John I'll check with him later. Make sure there'll be no last-minute disasters. Is there anything needs my attention here at the moment?
The Oxford conference organisers want to know if you and Mrs. Royston will join them for dinner tomorrow after your talk.
No, I don't think so. I'll have to come straight back here. Can you make our excuses, Francis? Oh, by the way, how is the move going?
Oh, Paula expects to be out in the next couple of weeks, and then I shall move into her cottage. Mrs. Royston still away, is she?
Yes, another day or two, I dare say.
Oh, dear. Her aunt no better, then.
Not much, it seems. Anything important in the mail?
No, mostly routine stuff that will keep. Oh, one marked personal for you. Actually, if you'll forgive me saying so, it looks rather like your wife's handwriting.
Oh.
News about her sick aunt, I dare say.
Yes, I expect so. I'll be in the study, finishing off reports. Let me know as soon as Penrith arrives, will you?
Dear Hugh, I hope this won't come as too much of a shock, but I've decided to stay away from Coriston. I expect you can guess why. I need more time to sort out what I really think about us. All I am sure of is that at the moment I can't stand any more of the school. Please don't try to find me. I promise I'll be in touch when I am more certain of my feelings. All my love, Sylvia. Oh, God.
It's so peaceful now. It'd be a lovely place without the kids, wouldn't it?
It went off all right anyway.
Oh, good girl.
At least something went smoothly. Perhaps I should have brought Penmerith and all his troop of school governors out to watch the departure. Convince him I could do something right.
Bad, was it?
Not good. Mm. I thought for a moment you were about to see your wish come true.
What wish?
Oh, come on, John. It's not a secret, is it? You must have been a very disappointed man when I arrived here.
Oh, yes, yes, I suppose I was. But I've long ago got over that.
I wonder.
Hugh, I've never done anything...
Why didn't you tell me you'd made arrangements for Pearson and Geary to take their A-levels at another school?
Oh, I see. Perhaps. But the parents contacted me in great distress. It was a fairly simple administrative matter.
Which you didn't want to bother me with.
No, all right. I backed my own judgment. Do you know what I felt about the expulsions?
Well, as it turned out, you did me a good turn. It seems the parents were going to make a great issue out of it. Demand a meeting with the governors and so on. Your simple administrative matter spared me that.
Oh, well, good.
It's nice to know one still has some friends.
I'm sure you have many.
Yes. But, John, who hates me enough to want to destroy me?
Hates you? That's a bit strong, isn't it?
Is it? Read that.
Good grief. This is just filth. Stupid obscenity. Where did it come from?
Sent anonymously to Lord Penmerith.
But he didn't believe it, surely?
No, I don't think he did. He told me to tear it up. Well, maybe he'd had moments of doubt about appointing a middle-aged bachelor as head, but I don't suppose he seriously considered me to be... Well, what that letter suggests.
People who write this sort of stuff should be
charming, isn't it? The headmaster is a dirty old man. If he can get us girls
now
alone...
Forget it, you. Do as he says. Tear it up. It's rubbish.
You're right.
Come on. First day of the holidays tomorrow. Your conference in Oxford. A civilized occasion. You'll see it all differently.
Do your belt up.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for stopping. There ain't much traffic. A lorry driver offered me a lift, but, well, I didn't think it was a very good idea.
Quite right. You really shouldn't be hitchhiking at all. How old are you?
15. My mum would have killed me if she knew.
Then why are you?
I didn't have a choice. My purse was nicked.
Oh, where?
I got the bus from Reading to Oxford this morning. I was going to do a bit of shopping, buy my aunt a present.
Your aunt?
Yeah, she lives in Coriston. I'm going to see her. Her name's Gail, too. Do you know her?
No, I don't think so. So, your name is Gail.
That's right. Moira. Moira Gail.
And you lost your purse?
Yeah. I bought this scarf, see? I remember putting the bits of change in my pocket, and then when I went to get a coffee, I hadn't got my purse. So I went back to the scarf counter, but the girl couldn't find it. She looked everywhere. Someone must have nicked it.
So you had no money for the bus?
Just a bit of change. And that got me to Woodstock, and I walked from there.
You were lucky I came along. The Coriston Road is fairly quiet.
Yeah, it was. Thanks. Do you live in Coriston?
Close by. At the college.
That posh school? Oh, sorry. You're a teacher, then?
Yeah.
Thought you were.
Really? Why?
The way you sort of told me off for hitchhiking.
Ah, I see. Well, it is a bit stupid.
What subject do you teach?
Actually, I'm the headmaster.
Oh. We've got a headmistress. She's a real pain.
It's not easy, you know, being a head these days. As I've just been telling 300 of them in the lecture. You see, Moira...
Could you stop, please? Quickly.
What is it?
I feel sick. Sorry.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry, it's so stupid. Oh, I'd better get out.
Are you all right?
I feel a bit faint. I need some air.
Here, just walk about a bit. Come on, I'll take you.
Let go of me. Let go.
Moira, what's the matter with you?
Me. Get away.
I'll be...
Help!
For God's sake, girl.
Detective Superintendent Thorne. Yes, sir, Sergeant Abbott is with me. He has all the details, such as they are. It isn't quite the sort of thing I'd be expecting to deal with. I see, very good. I'll let you know as soon as I've formed a judgment. Of course, as soon as possible. Attempted rape on the Coriston Road, that's all we've got. I thought we were meant to be part of the serious crime squad.
Yeah, I know, sir, but it seems the chairman of the school governors and the chief constable are good friends.
In the same Masonic lodge, I expect. Forget I said that, Sergeant.
Never heard a syllable, sir.
Well, I suppose if the police authority can spare a superintendent and a sergeant for a spin in the Cotswolds on such a lovely sunny day, why should we complain?
Quite, sir.
I may have several unsolved serious crimes I should be investigating, but if the chief constable chooses to do a favour for an old chum, ours not to reason why, Abbott.
I suppose it is a bit unusual, this case.
Really? Unusual? What's unusual about indecent assault? Do you ever read the papers, Abbott?
No, I mean Royston being a headmaster.
Crippen was a doctor.
A lot of wealthy people send their kids to Coriston.
Oh, I see. So, of course, that makes this grubby little case special. Needs a detective superintendent to unravel it. English justice is open to all, like the Ritz. Who said that, Abbott?
No one I know, sir.
No, I don't suppose so, Abbott. Well, we'd better get on with it. The chief constable wants rapid results. Did the local Nick know we're coming?
Yes, sir. A sergeant called. He'll be looking out for us.
There you are, sir. Two coffee, sugar and milk ready.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, sir. I just assumed it. Shall I get fresh?
Never mind, sergeant. I don't suppose it will kill me. Not quite, anyway.
We didn't expect you to be coming down, sir. Not an affair of this kind.
Neither did I. Well, drink up, Abbott.
Very nice.
As you know, sir, these cases are usually impossible to prove. One party's word against another.
But there were witnesses, isn't that right?
That's right. People in the car that stopped.
Reliable?
Well, local people, decent folk, they swear that if they'd not come along, he'd have had her.
Really?
They brought her straight here.
And you contacted the girl's aunt?
Oh, that's it. I'm the police doctor.
And where was our headmaster during all this?
Oh, well, he just drove off. I went to see him later.
Yes, I've seen your report. Denied everything, of course.
Oh, said the girl suddenly flew at him.
You believe him?
I don't know what to believe.
The police doctor found no evidence of sexual assault, just a little minor facial bruising.
True, but the girl was very distressed.
And there's the evidence of the witnesses.
Indeed. Decent folk, the sergeant tells us.
They'd have no reason to dish the dirt on Royston, would they?
Well, sergeant, would they?
No, not really.
What do you mean, not really?
Well, I'm sure they saw what they said they saw. But I suppose they might have assumed the worst, you know, jumped to the wrong conclusion, the way things have been.
The way what things have been?
A small place like this, you always get a lot of gossip. And there's been a bit of jealousy of the college, a lot of money around up there.
So what has the local gossip been saying?
Well, first there was the accident. Mrs. Sylvia Royston, his new wife, much younger than him. She was driving the school minibus and knocked down Billy Morton, little lad in the village. He died.
But not her fault?
No, but that didn't stop the ill feeling.
You said first there was the accident. What else subsequently?
Well, nothing has come to us officially.
But?
The gossip says there's been problems with drugs, drink, a pregnant sixth former, and certainly a couple of boys were expelled.
Sounds more like Grange Hill.
Royston could tell you more.
Yes, I suppose we'll need to know all about that, although I can't see at the moment it could have a bearing on this business. But I can't see much sense in any of it, to be frank.
Perhaps when we've seen the girl.
Yes. You've arranged that, Sergeant?
Her aunt will bring her here this afternoon, sir. 2:00.
Right. That gives us time for a decent lunch.
I'll take you up to the canteen, sir.
Thank you, but I think not. I've taken up enough of your valuable time, Sergeant. No, I saw a pub just across the road. I dare say we'll get a spot of lunch there. Give us a chance to think over what you've told us. Eh, Abbott?
Definitely, sir. Definitely. That was very nice, sir. Homemade, I'd say.
A better bet than their canteen, I think.
Well, sir, I quite fancy a spell as a country copper.
Well, no shortage of action. Drugs, drink, rape makes Oxford seem like toy time.
Makes the case a bit more interesting, though, doesn't it?
Possibly. If there's any connection.
Do you think there might be?
Well, that raises the perennial problem of criminal detection.
Does it, sir?
Does there always have to be a linked chain of events?
Well, things just don't happen, do they?
But random chance, the bolt from the blue, and coincidence. What about coincidence? Do you believe in that, Abbott?
Well, up to a point, but...
Let me put this to you. I'm chasing a wanted villain, and police forces throughout the land are looking for him, right?
Right.
What would be the odds against him sitting 2 seats in front of me on the Headington bus?
Oh, I don't know. A 1,000,000 to 1, I suppose.
Quite. But it happened. A couple of years ago.
So what you're saying...
What I'm saying is that random chance, the long shot, the unexpected coincidence have a part to play in the solution of crime.
And in this case,
I think we'd better assume nothing until we've met the opposing party.
Until we've spoken to the girl?
Until I've spoken to the girl.
Sorry.
Your role is far more important, Abbott.
Really, sir?
Indeed. Watch her reactions very closely as I question her. Body language. Know about that?
Yes, sir. I went on the same course, if you remember.
Splendid.
It's getting on for 2, sir. Our aunt's bringing her in. I think we ought to...
Just time for coffee, I think. Proper coffee this time. Drinkable coffee. Look, Moira, I'm sorry to have to ask you to go over this again, but I'm sure you understand why I need to. It's a very serious crime.
I told the other man everything.
I know, I've read what you said. But I need to clarify one or two things. Will you help me?
All right.
Good. You say in your statement here that Mr. Royston made no attempt to touch you or say anything offensive while you were in the car. Is that right?
Yes.
So why did you get out?
I feel sick. Car sick.
Do you suffer from car sickness?
Must do, mustn't I? And I've been standing in the sun. The robe was all twisty, I suppose.
And Mr. Royston got out as well?
Yeah. I thought he was just seeing if I was okay.
But he wasn't.
No. He said something. I don't remember what. And then he put his hand here. And then he started dragging me down the grass bank.
And naturally you resisted.
I tried to get him to leave go. I scratched him, I think. I was kicking and biting, but he was so strong.
And then the other car came along?
Yeah. I was lucky. It's a quiet road. If I hadn't, it would have...
I'm sorry, Moira. That's all I need to ask you. You've been very brave, but you do realize that these questions have to be asked if we are to discover the truth.
Second right, Court said. Oh, there it is. Coriston College, 1.5 miles.
She'd make a good witness, Abbott. No doubt about that.
I was impressed. Not the tarty sort.
Quite. If it came to court, she'd convince the jury, all right.
Did she convince you?
She certainly stayed with her story. No deviation from her original statement.
Which means?
Either it happened the way she said, or she's an unashamed and well-briefed little liar.
But what would be the point?
Would you have given her a lift, Abbott?
Me? Oh, I don't know.
Pretty enough, isn't she?
Well, now, come on, sir.
Don't delude yourself. Few of us would have left a winsome little thing like that standing on the roadside.
Yeah, perhaps not.
So why did you hesitate?
Because I'm a copper. I know the dangers.
The dangers?
Well, not for the girl, not with me. But she could say anything. Make wild accusations, blackmail. It's a common dodge.
Indeed. So why did Royston stop?
Could have been quite innocent.
Of course, you could argue that as a concerned and responsible citizen, he picked her up to keep her out of the clutches of someone less virtuous.
But on the other hand...
Quite. Left here. But for the moment, Abbott, you seem to go along with the girl.
I think so.
You were watching her closely? Reactions? Mannerisms?
Ah, yes, sir. Reactions seemed natural, honest. Of course, she was tense. You'd expect that. I did wonder...
What?
That she was very cut up when you took her through the incident itself. Well, she would be. That's understandable. But before that, she seemed to be relaxing. Almost relieved.
Perhaps I'd won her confidence, Abbott. It has been known.
Of course, sir. It could have been that.
But?
Well, I wondered if she was expecting you to ask some awkward questions which never materialised.
Maybe. If I'd known what they were, I'd have asked them like a shot. Did you notice the gold necklace?
Yes, I did. Yeah, but lots of people wear them these days.
Not cheap, though, was it?
Good quality, I thought.
Present?
No idea. Could be, I suppose. Perhaps she saved up for it from the Saturday job.
At £1 an hour. I wonder.
Sir?
Yes?
The girl. Would you have stopped for her?
Me? I'm old enough to be her father.
So is Royston.
Yes, he is. Isn't he?
Well, here we are. Oh, impressive.
Imposing Victorian Gothic. There's the sign. School office and inquiry.
All right.
If I remember my detective stories correctly, the head secretary should be a fount of all knowledge. Talk to her, particularly about the troubles this term.
She didn't sound very forthcoming on the telephone. Bit of a dragon.
Characteristic of the breed. But you'll charm it out of her, I'm sure. She'll have missed nothing. They're like that in these schools. Park here.
It says reserved for the chairman of the governors.
I'm sure his lordship would wish us to use it.
You seem to know a lot about these sort of places, sir.
I don't suppose they've changed much in 30 years. What are you grinning at, Sergeant?
Nothing. No. I just haven't got you down as a public school man, sir.
I don't know whether to be flattered or offended by your observation. Come on.
And there's still no sign of her. You'd have thought she'd be by his side at a time like this.
Quite. Terrible for Hugh.
Well, you must be looking forward to getting away from it all.
Oh, I'm not sure. I feel a bit like a rat leaving the proverbial sinking ship.
You'll be well out of it. I said the same to Steve Layton this morning.
Oh, is Steve still here? I thought after he was...
No. He telephoned. He's got several interviews and needs references. The head's been as tactful as possible.
Oh, good. I feel awful about that business.
You did what was right, Paula.
Maybe. But I hardly imagined Hugh would expel the boys and sack Steve.
Yes. It was all most unfortunate.
Poor you. Right in the thick of it. You ought to take a week or two off. I'm getting on quite well clearing out the cottage. You should be able to move in by the end of the month.
I'm certainly looking forward to it. Oh, dear. 10 o'clock. That'll be those awful policemen.
Right. I'll just collect my mail and get out of the way. Call in for a cup of tea if you can get out to the cottage later.
I assure you, Superintendent, sex was the last thing on my mind. I thought she was ill, went to help her, and she flung herself at me. I was surprised how strong she was, slip of a girl like that.
It was quite a struggle, according to the witness.
I can see how it must have looked. I tried to explain, but they wouldn't listen to a word I said.
So you just drove away?
Yes. You see, I was shocked, angry. I kept on asking myself, why did she do it? Why me?
And your answer?
I don't have one. The girl couldn't have known I'd be on that road at that particular time.
Who might have known?
Well, No one for certain.
But surely people at the school would have known you were at the conference, your secretary, colleagues and so on.
Yes, of course. Staff, even some pupils, I suppose, if they'd care to inquire.
And your wife, I imagine?
No, probably not my wife. She's away at the moment.
Oh. But you've been in touch, told her about this business?
No, I didn't want to alarm her.
Oh. Anyway, there were plenty of people who knew you might be on your way back from Oxford about that time.
Well, yes, but not this Moira Gale, Superintendent.
I suppose not.
It must just have been random chance. Luck, bad luck.
That's one of the explanations.
Oh, what else is there? Well, John suggested it was because I was driving an expensive car.
The white Mercedes outside, right?
Yes. When she found out I was a headmaster, perhaps I seemed a likely candidate for a spot of blackmail.
And who is John?
What? Oh, John Quarry, my deputy.
Obviously, you've told him about...
Yes, he and his wife. Oh, they're not just colleagues, but friends, good friends.
So who else knows?
Half at Coddleston by now. But I've only told Francis, my secretary.
And Lord Penrith. You must have told him.
Yes. You can imagine what that was like so soon after that obscene letter.
What letter? Tell me about this letter, sir.
A real can of worms. Once I got her talking, she couldn't stop. Oh, dear, that's one very bitter lady.
And she blames Mrs. Royston for everything.
Totally unsuited to be a headmaster's wife. Really no more than a child. Completely destroyed the head's judgment. And so on.
Mm. And where is the missing young lady, did she know?
No, but she obviously smells several rats. I reckon she's given Royston the old heave-ho.
Oh, poor chap, more bad news.
I suppose all the troubles and his wife running off. Well, it could have driven him over the edge, couldn't it?
Executive stress, attempted rape whilst the balance of the mind was disturbed. That's your theory?
Well, it had been one hell of a term for him. One crisis after another.
Quite. One coincidence after another.
What, sir?
Do we have a mess, or do we have a plot, Abbott?
I don't know, sir.
No. Perhaps Mr. Quarry will be able to help us. Excuse me.
Yes?
Mr. Quarry, is it?
I've nothing to say to you.
I beg your pardon.
There's no story, and you've got a print.
We're not the press, Mr. Quarry. There you are.
So, Superintendent, is it?
Sorry to interrupt you.
You'd better come inside.
That won't be necessary. Just a couple of things perhaps you could clear up.
Well, you might as well know before you begin. I believe every word that you, Mr. Royston, has told me about this wretched business. Why that girl should have told those appalling lies, I can't imagine. But lies, they certainly were.
Your loyalty does you credit, Mr. Quarry.
It's not a question of loyalty, Superintendent. I know the man.
You also know, then, that there have been accusations precisely...
What are you talking about?
Mr. Royston was very frank with me. I know about the anonymous letter. Apart from Lord Penmerith, I believe you were the only person he confided in at the time.
Yes, but that's...
Did you tell your wife?
I trust her completely. We have no secrets.
So you did tell her. Not a good place for secrets, is it, Coriston?
If, as a result of this unfortunate business, Mr. Royston were to be dismissed, do you imagine you might be appointed in his place, Mr. Quarry?
Do I have to take this? I'm not stupid, you know. I know...
Only a question, Mr. Quarry. One must face reality. I imagine the school would feel fortunate to have an experienced man to summon to the bridge, so to speak, but we must hope it doesn't come to that, mustn't we?
I don't think I can help you any further, Superintendent.
Thank you for your time. Much appreciated. Now, perhaps you can point us in the right direction for... Where is it, Abbott?
The Tarbit House, sir.
Mark Joyner's house. I believe he's still in school.
Hello? Someone there? Who is it?
Sylvia.
Hello, Hugh.
Darling, I've been so worried.
Yes, I'm sorry, Hugh, but I couldn't take any more.
Oh, it's all right. You're back. That's all that matters.
I do love you, Hugh. I know that now. It was a terrible thing I did walking out.
Oh, we'll forget it. All of it. It was mostly my fault. I got so wrapped up in this place. But I need to change things, I promise.
No, don't change. I don't want that. I just needed to grow up.
Look, we'll celebrate. Go out, have a meal.
No, let's just stay in, the two of us.
Right. A drink, then. A welcome home drink?
Yes, why not?
A double, I think.
Hugh.
Yes?
I know about the girl.
How? Who told
you? And I know it's not true, Hugh. Any of it. Not one single word.
I have to confess, Abbott, it's been an interesting day. All that seething, claustrophobic resentment bottled up behind the ivy-clad walls.
Oh, very well phrased, sir.
Yes.
Royston certainly has plenty of enemies.
One of the burdens of command, Abbott. I know the feeling.
There must be half a dozen people who had a motive for getting at him.
At least half a dozen. John Quarry, who wants his job and always has done. Perhaps Mrs. Quarry, ambitious on her husband's behalf. The secretary has had her nose put out of joint by the new wife. Who does that leave us with?
That other housemaster chap, Joyner. He was still pretty cheesed off about his boys being expelled.
Quite. And then there's the boys themselves. Nasty pieces of work by the sound of them. They could have set him up. And don't forget the pregnant girl. Or at least her parents. They must have been pretty sick with Royston.
Just like the people in the village.
Which still leaves us with the sacked French teacher, Steve Layton.
And the English teacher we met in the office. She's off down under.
You don't have to have a criminal record to go there these days. Certainly a long list, isn't it?
But unless we could find a connection between someone on the list and Moira, there's no basis for a conspiracy.
Quite. Oh, yes, the answer, if there is one, would lie with Moira. We'd need to know much more about her. It would have been quite intriguing following it up.
Would have been?
You don't imagine I can spend any more time on this case. The girl isn't going to press charges, too distressing for her. And without independent testimony, the Crown won't prosecute.
So we'll never know whether it was just a chance encounter, whether he did assault her,
or whether he was the object of someone's vengeance.
The Chief Constable isn't going to be best pleased with that, is he? Oh, Lord, whatever his name is.
He wanted my professional judgment, which is that without devoting more time and resources than we have available for such a case, the matter will remain unresolved. If he doesn't like it, he can do the other thing. It may sound cynical, Abbott, but the crime isn't serious enough to take up any more of our time.
It's all right. I'm here.
Yay.
Good morning. Coruscant School headmaster speaking. What? Have you got the right... Who are you? I don't think...
Very well. I'm listening. Yes. At noon? Yes, I'll be there. You can be sure of that.
But who the hell... Who the hell...
Hello? Hello?
Who was it, Jim?
Oh, no one. Just the wrong number.
Come on. Come on. Oh. You came then. I thought you would. So, you brought the money, I hope. You better have.
I don't think I shall ever get used to these places.
No. And there's something so pathetic about it all. A young girl, that's all she is, Abbott.
Poor kid.
It wouldn't have taken much force to choke the life out of her. You can see the marks on the throat.
Death by manual strangulation, you say?
Yes, but as to time of death, that sort of thing, you just have to wait for their tests to know that.
Thank you. Come along, Abbott, let's go.
Looks as if it had to be Royston, doesn't it?
Possibly.
But from what we know, the body was found by a chap out walking his dog. This chap reckons he was passed by a flash white car driven by a man.
He wasn't sure of the make of the car.
No, but forensic have identified a set of tyre tracks. They're pretty certain it was a Merc.
What did I miss, Abbott?
Miss?
I never saw murder in this one. If I had, perhaps Moira would start.
But there was no suggestion, sir. It all seemed over and done with.
Last night I was complaining this crime was too trivial for me. A bit of a sick joke now, isn't it?
You'll be bringing Royston in then, sir?
Not yet. He can't hide. We know where he is. No. First, we're going to Reading.
Reading, sir?
I want to know much more about Moira Gale. She wouldn't tell us when she was alive.
Wouldn't tell us? What do you mean?
She was playing a game with us, Abbott, and not just with us.
But we don't know that. You said so. She might have been a totally innocent party.
But that kid in there has been murdered, Abbott. That changes everything, don't you see?
No, not really.
The fruitfulness of paradox. I could believe Moira alive to be a harmless kid, a victim, but Moira dead is quite a different matter. She provoked someone enough to murder her.
There's no doubt, Abbott, the poor thing was partly the architect of her own destruction.
Trying to blackmail Hugh Royston, you mean?
It's a strong probability, I agree. But there are other scenarios. Royston is an intelligent man.
So was Crippen.
Point taken. But why should he lure Moira to some remote spot to murder her and then advertise his presence by driving to and from the scene of the crime in a distinctive vehicle known to everyone in Coniston? Doesn't make sense.
But I don't suppose he meant to murder her. They don't usually, do they? Just get carried away, panic.
Perhaps. Maybe I'm being too fanciful. Come on, let's get out of this place. I dare say we'll learn more when we get to Reading.
There you are, sir. That's your room. We haven't touched anything.
I'm sorry we had to intrude at a time like this. It's very good of you to see us with your wife unwell, too.
She's taking it very bad.
Of course. We shan't need to disturb her, but we do need your assistance.
Yes, anything I can do to nail the devil.
If you don't mind, we'll need to look through Morris' things, letters, diaries. There might be something.
Well, you carry on, but I don't know if it'll be much help. She didn't have much of a social life set up here a lot of the time, really.
No boyfriends? Parties? Discos? That sort of thing?
Well, she wasn't interested in any of that.
No? My daughter's room's plastered with posters of pop stars.
But not Morris. Just these travel posters. Where did she get these from, Mr. Gale?
A Guernsey school trip last Easter.
Did she enjoy it?
I think so.
Think?
Well, she never told us much, but I think it must have made an impression on her.
Why do you say that?
It was her first time away from us, and it's sort of abroad, isn't it? Well, further than the wife and I've ever been. We asked her all about it, but she sort of clammed up. We thought she might have found a boyfriend.
Really?
She was definitely more moody, touchy.
It's often a sign, in my experience.
But she never mentioned a boy or met one, as far as you know.
No, I'm sure we'd have known. She didn't go out to meet him anyway.
Can you be sure?
Well, she was only ever out on Saturdays at the job. Oh, I suppose I had to tell Mr. Brandon at the bookshop.
There's no need. I'll arrange for one of my officers to call there and at the school.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Well, perhaps we'd better start to look through.
If there's any letters or anything, they'll be in her desk.
Is it locked?
No. She didn't need to lock anything. We never interfered, you know, poked her nose.
I'm sure. I'd say Moira couldn't have asked for better.
We did our best. We'd give her opportunities without some bastard.
We'll find him, Mr. Gale. Be sure of that. Right, Abbott, if you start with the wardrobe, I'll have a
look. I'm sorry, do you mind if I leave you to it? I don't think
I've got. Of course, of course. If we need to take anything away, we'll give you a receipt.
We'll take what you want. She'll never need them again, will she? I'll just look in on the wife, make sure she's asleep. They gave us some tablets.
Of course.
I'll be downstairs if you need me.
Oh, poor devil. Decent sort, sir, wouldn't you say?
Very. Bit odd, though, wasn't it?
What?
I got the feeling he was talking about a lodger rather than a daughter.
Oh, I don't know. Still in a state of shock.
Right, let's get on.
Right.
Tidy girl. No clutter.
Yes, some very smart gear, yes, sir. It's expensive looking.
Really? Probably saved up from the Saturday job.
Yeah, I suppose so, but yeah, look at this.
More of them.
More what?
Cuttings. Magazine articles. All about the royal family.
Yeah, there are pictures in a book here, too. Princess Di, Fergie, all of them. It's a bit unusual in a teenager, isn't it?
Now, this is really odd. Come over here a moment, Herbert.
What's that, sir?
This tin box in the drawer was hidden by all the cuttings.
What about it, sir?
Locked.
Ah. Oh.
Well, Abbott, what do you think she wanted to keep from prying eyes?
Money?
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to find out. There'll be a key somewhere.
Ah, what they usually do is sellotape it somewhere out of sight. Ah, ha ha. Here we are, sir.
I'm impressed, Sergeant. Now, let's see. I don't know if this is going to help much, but just wait a minute. This is not at all what I expected.
I know she saved bits and bobs from her job and what we gave her, but £400? Where did she get that?
The passbook shows several sizable entries. £50 in January, £175 in March, and another £100 just a week or so ago.
How could she? Did you say 175? When was that?
The 10th of the 3rd, March this year. Have you remembered something? Something that might explain where she got this sort of money?
So it was her. I thought so, but I didn't want to believe it. Put it out of my mind. I suppose I shouldn't say it, but I never did trust her. Never saw her about her from the beginning. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, but
what didn't you want to believe, Mr. Gale?
Would you like a cup of tea?
No, thank you. What didn't you want to believe?
My wage packet went missing. Just before Easter, it was. I could have sworn I brought it home, but in the end, the wife persuaded me I must have lost it at work or something.
And it was about that amount?
That's what I get, £175.
Just before Easter, sir. That would be before Moira's trip to Guernsey. Perhaps she needed some new clothes.
She didn't need anything. We gave her everything.
I'm sure you did, Mr. Gale. But the other amounts, you can't explain those. Please forgive this question, Mr. Gale. It must seem rather personal, but was Moira your daughter?
No, she wasn't. Well, not exactly. But we loved her as if she was our own.
I'm sure you did. Did she know she was adopted?
Oh, yes. Well, I've told her when she was about 10.
Did she know who her real parents were?
No. She was abandoned, just a few days old.
So really she was able to imagine anything she liked, even that she might be related to royalty?
Oh, that, yes, that was a sort of family joke. Wife used to call her our little princess when she was a toddler. I've forgotten.
But I don't think Moira had, Mr. Gale. I don't think it was a joke to her.
Yes, that's right. Check the hotel and all the names I gave you between the 23rd and 31st of March. 23rd and 31st of March. And make it quick. Thanks.
And did you also ask them to try the number the school secretary gave you?
Yes, sir. They'll put this Steve Layton through here if they contact him.
Good.
It's got to be a long shot, sir. Guernsey in the same place at the same time.
But it would make sense. Bring the whole thing together. It would be the coincidence which links all the others. It doesn't strike me as impossible that Moira met someone in Guernsey who ties her in with Coriston.
But it could just as easily have been Reading. I mean, those two boys that were expelled, for instance. We know one of them lives in Pangbourne. That's not far from Reading.
I don't think so. You heard what Mr. Gale said. She didn't have a social life outside home.
With respect, sir, there was quite a lot that poor Mr. Gale didn't know about Moira.
I grant that.
For a start, he didn't know she was a thief. And not just from him, either. We know what Mr. Brandon said in the bookshop. It must have been her. They're checking it up in Reading, but I don't reckon there's any doubt.
Certainly it would explain the £50 deposit with the Building Society. That's what Brandon believed his missing first edition to be worth. But what about the £100 in July?
You think that was payment in advance, don't you? Money to set up Royston.
Looks very much like it. She seemed to fantasize that she was well-connected. Royal blood, even. I think she was determined to improve herself. She had the imagination to play a part. She almost convinced me. And we know she wouldn't have been restrained by moral scruples if she could steal from her father.
So she looks the part and will do most things for money.
It fits. X, the unknown party, bribes Moira to fix Royston. It's highly probable that X is connected with Coriston and that Moira is just part of a vendetta which has hounded Royston all term, ever since his marriage.
You now think the marriage is part of all this?
Or is that just another coincidence? How many of those incidents at Coriston were manufactured? And how many spontaneous? Ah, yes. Put him through, please.
Steve Layton.
This might help us find out, Abbott. Hello. Thank you for calling, Mr. Layton. I'm sorry to trouble you in the holidays. I'm investigating... Oh, you've seen the papers. Well, in that case... No, of course not, Mr. Layton. But I do need your help about an earlier incident involving cannabis. No, I'm not concerned at this stage with that offence. But there is something I'd like you to tell me.
I just needed to get away. I stayed in a small hotel in Oxford. That's all,
and
Superintendent.
Presumably they'd remember you at this small hotel.
I'm sure they would if you telephoned.
I expect so, sir, yes. So what brought you back, Mrs. Royston?
I realised how much I miss you. Particularly when I heard the trouble he was in.
How did you know there was trouble? There's nothing in the papers at that stage.
Shopping in Oxford, I bumped into Helen. Helen Quarry. Pure coincidence.
Another one. But do go on. You met Mrs. Quarry, you say?
Yes, and she told me what had been happening.
And Mrs. Quarry was the only person you met in Oxford?
What do you mean?
I must put this to you. Did you perhaps also meet Moira Gale in Oxford?
No,
you knew your husband would be at the conference, the car he was driving.
This is absurd.
It's all right, Hugh. No, Superintendent, I did not meet Moira Gale, then or on any other occasion.
Thank you, Mrs. Royston. And you can confirm that your husband left the house at about 11:45 this morning?
Yes.
And you think the phone call, the anonymous one, was about 9 o'clock?
Yes, about then. Hugh said it was a wrong number.
A pity.
I have explained to you. I can see now I was wrong, but I panicked. I thought if I went to meet her, I could sort everything out, find out who was behind it all.
What a pity you didn't contact us, sir. Moira might be alive now.
You think I haven't told myself that 100 times? I thought I could deal with it. I daren't risk more publicity. I didn't know if it was Moira on the phone. The voice was heavily disguised.
But the voice was female. You're sure of that?
I'm not sure of anything anymore. But, yes, I think so.
And you thought if it were Moira or someone acting on her behalf, something useful might come out of the meeting?
At least I'd know what was behind it all. Then I would have been able to come to you. The last thing I expected was to be faced with Moira's body.
And you panicked again, you said. Just drove off.
I'm not completely stupid, although I begin to wonder now. I knew that if I was found there with the body, I could see there was nothing I could do for her. Well, perhaps to run away wasn't very rational, but I wasn't thinking clearly. As soon as Sergeant Court came here, I told him everything, just as I told you. I know how it must look, Superintendent.
That'll be my sergeant. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, darling.
Good. Come through then.
Yes, sir, it's all there. And the results of the post-mortem.
Thank you. I won't be long. I'll meet you at Mr. Quarry's house.
Right, sir.
Right, Mr. Royston. I shall have to ask...
I was expecting it. If you would allow me to call my solicitor.
I don't think that will be necessary for the moment.
Oh?
I was going to say I shall have to ask you for your assurance that you will not be leaving Coriston without informing me.
Of course. Thank you, Superintendent. Does that mean...
Could I ask you just one final question?
Yes.
Have you ever been to Guernsey, Mr. Royston?
What a strange question.
And your answer?
Yes, I've been there once or twice.
But not at Easter this year?
No.
And you, Mrs. Royston, have you ever been to Guernsey?
Never.
Perhaps you should get your husband to take you there. Would that be a good idea, Mr. Royston? Now, I must go and talk to Mr. and Mrs. Quarry.
Look, I don't
what
know...
What has Guernsey got to do with this, Superintendent?
Everything, Mrs. Royston. Everything.
It was pure coincidence. As I've explained to Sergeant Abbott, I was going into the supermarket as Sylvia was coming out. Exactly as she said.
And I've also given your sergeant details about Easter holiday, though what that's got to do with anything,
yes,
I really...
Yes, sir, Mrs. Quarry managed to get away for a few days to stay with friends, but Mr. Quarry...
I know everyone thinks teachers have long holidays to swan around.
I'm sure you work very hard, Mr. Quarry. I mean, you're still here now, and we're well into the holidays.
Exactly.
And this morning, Mr. Quarry... Were you busy with school matters this morning?
There's no need to be subtle, Superintendent. It doesn't suit you.
Mr. Quarry says...
What do you mean, says?
That he went into Coriston for some shopping soon after breakfast and came back about 10 o'clock.
I see. And presumably Mrs. Quarry was here, so she can...
Well, but not all of the time. It was such a lovely morning that I went for a long walk.
But you met people, I dare say.
Well, I'm not sure that I did. I kept well away from the roads.
Really?
Look, I appreciate that this is a very serious business and you have to ask your questions, but you can't for one moment think...
What can't I think?
No, it's all right, John. I'm sorry, Superintendent, but this business has placed us all under a great strain.
I understand, Mrs. Quarry, and I hope we shall have it all cleared up very quickly now.
Oh, really? Look, I'm sorry I lost my temper. Can I ask, Superintendent, purely from school's point of view, whether you will need to... take Mr. Royston...
No, Mr. Royston can continue with his duties here, as far as I'm concerned.
Good. Oh, that's excellent. We were afraid that... Well, that really is good news.
I expect it is. Am I right, Mr. Quarry?
Indeed. And I've got more good news for him.
What's that?
You know about the pregnancy business.
The Hillmore girl, yes.
Well, I had a letter from the parents this morning. The girls told them everything. The father, some wretched cousin who stayed with them during the Easter holidays. They absolve us from all blame.
Even from leaving gin bottles lying about?
Well, that was hardly our fault, was it?
No, I suppose not. Anyway, that will be reassuring for Mr. Royston. Well, thank you for your time. I'm sorry to have kept you busy school teachers. Still, you have got another 6 weeks to recover. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But this photograph, when was it taken?
That one? Beginning of term party. Hugh gave one to introduce us all to Sylvia. We all look so cheerful there, don't we?
Are all the staff on it?
Yes, I think so. You got us all to pose together. Stupid, really, but we'd all had a few drinks. I can't think why you've got it framed, Helen. We all
looked... That's what we all looked so happy. It's a rare sight.
May I borrow it?
What are those for?
Abbott will let you have a receipt.
Oh, take it. Keep the damn thing. As far as I'm concerned, it's not exactly an occasion, as it turned out, that any of us want to remember.
He was certainly surprised you weren't taking Royston in. So am I, as a matter of fact, sir.
But neither of you had seen the autopsy report.
How does that clear him?
Time of death. Moira's aunt says the girl left the house soon after 9, after a substantial breakfast.
I see. Stomach content.
It helps them fix time of death pretty accurately. Moira had been dead a couple of hours when she was found. And Royston and Sylvia have alibis for each other.
Right. What else did they come up with?
No sign of a struggle, which suggests Moira knew who it was who strangled her.
But
if it's not expected, it's easily done. Hands round the throat, she was only a wisp of a thing. No great strength was necessary.
So it could have been a man or a woman?
Oh, no. I'm sure it was a woman.
Really? Why?
The whole business has the hallmark of the little green-eyed monster, jealousy, or bitter resentment. Resentment against Hugh Royston.
But there were plenty of men who resented him. John Quarry, the boys,
the use of Moira, the poison pen note, the sexual element is very strong. This is sexual jealousy.
It could be hard to prove. Just a theory.
But now we have the evidence from Guernsey. I knew we'd find a connection.
But it just confuses things until we can get a proper identification. I suppose that's why you took the photograph.
Yes. But I'm pretty sure I know.
How could you be in two places at once and by yourself?
What are you talking about, Abbott?
You told me the hotel in Guernsey recognized one name on the list we sent them. Or rather, the same name, but not the same sex.
Correct. They had a guest staying there between those dates who signed in as Mrs. Royston. And she was known to them, had been there on previous occasions.
But Sylvia Royston was on her honeymoon in France. I suppose Guernsey isn't too far away from France.
I see your confusion, Abbott. You're imagining it was our Mrs. Royston who was at the hotel.
Of course. You're telling me it wasn't? Then who was it? Not his mother, sir, I suppose.
No, not his mother, Abbott. Turn right at the next crossroads. I think that's what Miss Bell said. The lane should be on the left, almost immediately. She said we can take a car down.
When did you speak to her? She wasn't in the office when I was...
She arrived just as I was leaving to walk across to the quarries.
So she hadn't been in this morning? Not like our school secretary to be away from work, is it?
She told me she was packing up to move into this cottage.
And you believed her, sir?
Here's the lane coming up. We turn off.
I mean, it could be her. If your theory is right, she's jealous of Sylvia,
yes,
right?
But I don't see her as Royston's mistress. There's no sexual motive, not with her. She's just protecting the school. And coincidence, I told you, it can never be discounted. But not a whole chapter of coincidence.
I'm not with you, sir.
Think about it, Abbott. Who suggested Mrs. Royston took the minibus?
But that was an accident, wasn't it?
Yes, but wishful thinking, possibly. And then the rumours. Somebody amplified those. And the same somebody, knowing poor Jane Hillmore's fondness for gin, gave her the opportunity to take more.
And what Steve Layton told you on the phone this morning...
Yes. He only told one person. And I don't doubt the same person wrote the anonymous note to Lord Penmerith. Turn right at the barn. We're nearly there.
Sir, that car parked up ahead. It's
so. How long will it take the others to get here?
They'd have to round up a forensic team, a WPC. But I told them to step on it. Another 10 minutes, I reckon.
Right. Good. We'll walk the rest of the way. Nice summer's day, windows open. Voices might carry habit. Particularly if they're raised.
As soon as he asked about Guernsey and whether I'd been there this Easter, I began to see. It had to be you. I didn't want to think it, Paula.
How did you think I felt in that cosy hotel? Everyone calling me Mrs. Royston, remembering us from our previous visits. When's your husband coming?
You knew I wouldn't come. It was all over, I told you.
But I didn't believe it. Didn't want to believe it, I suppose. That you were just using me until you found some insipid little virgin who'd be better for your image. Always promising a wedding, weren't you? But it never materialized, did it? I should have realized I wasn't quite good enough for you. Not quite young enough. Not quite respectable enough. Yes, I should have known you were using me for just one thing.
Paula!
And the trouble you took to make sure your mucky little affair was our secret. God knows it was hard enough to keep it quiet in that bloody hothouse you run. When I think of Frances Bell poking her nose into your business, and John Quarry just waiting for you to slip up so that he could step into the job he always thought should be his. Well, he doesn't have to wait much longer, does he? You're finished, Hugh.
It was you, then. Everything that went wrong. You're evil, Paula. To destroy me, perhaps I can understand that, but Moira Gale, what had she done?
She was convenient. I came across the stupid little fool in Guernsey while I was waiting for you. Appropriate, wasn't it? She seemed at a loose end, too. A loner. She bored me to tears with her pathetic fantasies, her plans to better herself. But I knew she'd do anything for money. When I needed someone, I thought of her. I remembered she had an aunt near here. I knew about your silly conference in Oxford. It wasn't hard to fix. You see, she had a vivid imagination, Hugh. She still thought I was Mrs. Royston, and I told her you'd been playing about with other women, threatening our marriage. I wanted to get my own back and warn you off at the same time.
And she believed you?
She was only 15. I thought she'd swallow it. And there was the money, of course. But I misjudged her.
How?
She must have found out in the village about Sylvia, the real Mrs. Royston. So she telephoned, demanded more money, threatened to tell the police the truth.
And you killed her. Then tried to involve me. That was you, wasn't it, on the phone? The disguised voice? But it was a voice I knew. I couldn't place it at the time.
Yes, it was me. But who'll prove it, Hugh? Your word against mine? And who'll believe you? A child molester? A failed headmaster?
Good afternoon, Miss Danby. The front door was open, so we came in some time ago. It seemed a pity to interrupt your very lucid flow.
So it was all a trap. You brought the police with you. I should have expected that from you.
Let it up, Miss Danby. Go on, Alice.
Not that it matters, Miss Danby, but Mr. Royston did not bring us. I would have come anyway. I've suspected you for some time.
How could you?
Too many coincidences. And the sexual jealousy. A woman roused and then scorned. There weren't too many candidates for that role at Coriston. You fitted the profile, Miss Danby. The right age, the right looks, the right temperament, and all the opportunities you needed to destroy the man who discarded you.
Theories, Superintendent. Just theories. Your eavesdropping won't help you. That's not evidence, and you know it.
There'll be no shortage of evidence. I imagine the staff at the Guernsey Hotel will recognize you from the photograph we'll send down the wire. And poor Moira. You can't strangle someone with your bare hands without leaving tissue traces. Unique to you, Miss Danby. No, I don't believe we'll lack evidence. Abbott, in your experience, what does a murderer try to do after committing the crime?
To get away as far as possible, sir.
Was Australia going to be far enough, Miss Danby? In a few minutes, Miss Danby, you will be taken to Oxford and charged formally.
Superintendent, do I have to stay?
No. We'll take statements from you later. Paula.
Get out! I don't need your sympathy. You'll never understand, Hugh, will you? I loved you, and you left me for a woman not fit to be near you, let alone be your wife. You did that to me. Just get out. Go.
Yes, please leave now, sir. Go back to your wife, Mr. Royston, and your school. There'll be a trial and a lot of bad publicity. But with luck, you might survive. You've certainly been more fortunate than poor little Moira Gale.
John Castle played Detective Superintendent Thorne and John Sampson, Hugh Royston, in Mortal Term, which was dramatized for radio by Melville Jones from the novel by John Penn. John Quarry, James Green, Helen Quarry, Penelope Lee, Mark Joyner, Stuart Organ, Francis Bell, Oriel Smith, Sylvia Royston, Victoria Carling, Paula, Elizabeth Mansfield, Steve, Jonathan Tapler. Pearson, Paul Downing, Geary, Stephen Garlick, Detective Sergeant Abbott, Andrew Branch, Sergeant Court, Ian Lindsay, Jane Hillmore and Moira Gale, Jane Wittenshaw, and Mr. Gale, David King. Mortal Term was directed by Martin Jenkins.